Church, will you pray with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So we've wrapped up two-thirds of the Sermon on the Mount. Here's what we get into with chapter 7. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For the judgment you give will be the judgment you get, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Can you let a moment pass without assigning some category to it? Good or bad, better or worse, right or wrong, in bounds or out of bounds? Can you behold a work of art and not assign a category to it, like good or bad, or I liked it or I didn't like it, but rather just absorb it and let it do in you whatever it wants? Can you hear a sermon without assigning a category to it? I liked that one. I didn't care for that one. I really didn't care for that one. But instead, just trust that God's word is going to be spoken with or without the preacher, whether it felt satisfying or not. Can you witness your neighbor's life and work and relationships and behaviors, and then think nothing about it? Can you witness your neighbor's life and work and relationships and behaviors without putting it on the scale and weighing it against your own life and your own relationships, your own marriage, your own parenting, your own work, your own behavior? Can you witness your neighbor struggling to keep themselves together without diagnosing them? Without fantasizing the advice you would give them if only they were smart enough to ask for your advice? Stop judging each other, Jesus says. Stop measuring each other. Stop analyzing each other. Stop diagnosing each other. And instead, imagine a church in which every person can say with the utmost honesty, whether a long-time member or a first-time visitor, when I am with these people, I do not feel any watchful and analyzing and judging gaze upon me, and yet I feel 100% seen. Is it possible for such a church to exist? Well, Jesus says in just a few more verses after this that the one who hears everything I'm saying, and not just hears it, but puts it into practice, is like the wise person building a house on a solid, firm foundation of rock, and the storm will come sooner or later. You built the house on the right foundation because you heard and you practiced. Sounds to me like Jesus thinks such a church is capable of existing. 0% judged, 100% seen. And in order to let us know that such a community is indeed possible, he gives us a little bit of, I'll call it comedy. There's this guy, and there's a tree on his land that needs to come down. So one day he goes out with his chainsaw, and he brings the tree down. And just as soon as he does that, he falls face first. And when he gets back up, he's got a great big log sticking out of his eye. And it looks painful, but he's a trooper. He is going to go about the rest of his day pretending it's not there. And he's going to kind of assume our participation, that we will oblige him, and also pretend it's not there. But he feels insecure about the great big piece of lumber lodged into his face. He's probably overcompensating a little bit because then what he does is as he goes about his day, he starts noticing and pointing out the little speck of dust in your eye. All in the hopes that if he can get the attention on the speck of dust in your eye, we won't have an opportunity to notice the great big log jutting forth from his eye. That's a funny enough image on its own. But on top of that, it turns out this guy is an optometrist. He's got to go into work today. He's got to do some very fine surgery to get a speck of dust out of his patient's eyes. All the while, the log remains. Is there anything funnier than a blind optometrist? Stop judging each other, says Jesus. Stop measuring, stop analyzing, stop diagnosing, stop pretending that you don't have something you need to get out of your own eye first. Pretending. That's the word he uses, hypocrite, pretender. You pretenders. Stop fixating on what's wrong with everyone else. Stop measuring them and look inward. And by exposing us for the blind optometrists that we all are, he's inviting us to participate in the life of the God who is completely free. Our God is free of the need to judge and measure and analyze and diagnose everyone else's issues. Once again, Jesus shines a light on the false self doing the only thing it knows how to do, which is to ignore itself, its problems, and pretend that someone else's problems are the only ones that need attention. Jesus says, I have something better for you. Come join in this life of the God who is free of the need to constantly put you on a scale and see how you measure up and how you don't. And that freedom is quite available to us as well. And by following Jesus up the mountain, and by following Jesus through his ministry in the Gospel of Matthew, by following Jesus all the way to the cross, we're trying to learn how to be free the way he is free. Because as long as we insist on judging each other, we are slaves. We are slaves to all the people we judge. We're slaves to them because we're giving them a power over us that they probably didn't even ask for, the power to occupy and steal our brain space. We give them the power to seize and steal and extract our mental energies and our spiritual energies. We give them the power to anoint us as the perfect and righteous judge whose job it is to decide how everyone else is doing, and it's an exhausting task. And we keep enslaving ourselves to someone else, making them give that task to us. So here on the mount, Jesus says, you know what? If you stop judging, if you stop measuring and analyzing and diagnosing each other, come instead, be free with me. Come to the God who is ready to take that burden off your shoulders. Because here's what God wants to make of you instead. Someone who is perfectly available to see people without any need to analyze them. And to be with people without the need to change them. One of my favorite authors says, perfect love is the ability to let someone else just be what they are without the need to change them. When we read the Gospels, people swarm Jesus for exactly this reason. Because he sees them, and he sees their past that they're ashamed of. He sees all their bad habits. He sees all their broken relationships. And then he is with them. That's what God sees. sees you completely. Everything you're embarrassed about. Everything you wish you could change. Everything you ignore when you get the convenient opportunity to ignore it. He sees all of it, and he is with you. Without placing more expectations on you, but rather taking them off of you. Without telling you that you have to be the judge of someone else, but telling you you don't have to judge anyone. Church, we don't have to be the judge for each other. And the reason people in the Gospels are so abundantly in love with Jesus is because they just know when they are around him that they are 100% seen and 0% judged. Instead of judging people and analyzing people, he just brings them to the table and is with them. Let me ask our table servers to make their way to the back and get the plates and then come join me up front. Since the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been teaching us the art of relinquishment. How to relinquish, how to let go. Everything that wants to separate us from God. Relinquish your anger. Relinquish your desire for both things and for people. Relinquish your grudges. Relinquish the need for other people to see you in certain ways that benefit you. And Jesus has brought all of that to its climax. Relinquish each other. Let go of your brothers and sisters because they belong to God and they're in good hands. There is no need to be constantly measuring and diagnosing each other. To whatever extent that needs to be done, God will figure it out. Instead, we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to see each other and we're going to say, come to the table. And let's be with Jesus here at the table together, because this is the place where Jesus sees us in our fullness, good and bad, and loves us without any need to judge us. That's the table you're at right now, church. You are seen by our host, Jesus. And he loves what he sees. That's why he keeps bringing you back to this table again and again and again. And he's never going to stop inviting you. And as we continue this practice, this meal, and as we eat his body, and in his words, drink his blood, take his life into us and make it our life, we're just going to become more and more like he is. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how we thank you for constantly inviting us back to this place. We thank you for your body that you allowed to be broken for us. So now as we take this bread, your body, into ourselves, we ask you to remake us in your image. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for bringing us back here. We thank you for your blood that you allowed to be poured out for us, that we may experience new covenant faithfulness to you. So now, as we take this cup, your blood, into ourselves, we ask you to remake us in your image. Amen. Jesus has offered this invitation to us this morning to come join him and participate in God's life, a life that is so full of love it doesn't know how to judge. If you have not yet taken hold of that life in the waters of baptism, then we would invite you to come forward. If there's anything you need from this church, please come forward and let us know. But if you would like to be baptized today, let us invite you with these words from the book of Revelation. For this reason, they are before the throne of God. They worship him day and night within his temple, and the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Let's stand and sing.